This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. We got the ball of our land. We're keeping it hot. So get your friends, get the train coming through. Climb on board. Where you leave, up to you.
And welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. We're getting some great text on pizza, of course, in St. Louis.
Of course, because the Cardinals have lost 9 of 11, and the Blues have Game 3 of the Western Game 2, rather, of the Western Conference Final tonight. And our main topic in our text line is going to be best pizza in St. Louis.
Interest level in the Blues, an 8. Cardinals, this is confidence level. Confidence level in the Blues, 8. Confidence level in the Cardinals, 6. Nick and Elena's Pizzeria. All right. It's Diners.
Well, I know the name of the show, but he calls all the restaurants during the show joints. This pizza joint, this Asian joint, this barbecue joint. I know the name of the program.
Blues, confidence level 5. Cards, 8. NBA interest level 2. Pizza Ferrato's. Yeah, very nice. Good place.
I want his confidence in the Cardinals.
This is a good one. Roma's in Bethalto. I've heard great things.
OB Clark's for pizza, 314.
Oh, very strong, very underrated. You wouldn't think Irish Bar. They do a terrific job. Okay, until the Blues lose the fourth game of any series, my confidence level is 1,000. And the Blarney Stone on South Telegraph has incredible pizza.
I've never had the pizza there.
It's from Hockey Bob.
I will say, I know, like, going into Saturday's game, what was your confidence level that the Blues would win that game before?
Not great.
Right. So that's kind of how I feel. I think the expectation was game one typically goes to the home team. So I think a lot will be learned tonight.
Yeah. And even if, you know what, if they get blown out tonight, and it was as sloppy as the last one, then you think, yeah, there's no chance. But even if they lose tonight, like a 3-2 game, you could come home and win 2 straight here and steal a game 5.
Could you,
and still
though?
In the...
That's my concern.
Yeah.
What's your confidence level with the Blues?
Well,
if you lose tonight,
goes.
You need to win all 3 games at home. And I'm not super confident that, given how they've played at home in postseason play the last couple of years, I'm not super confident in that happening.
I just think the way the game is played tonight, I mean, is San Jose on a different level? That's what the question has to be asked. Are they just that much better? And I don't think they are. Sounds completely insane, but Whole Foods' new slice pizza might be the best New York style in town. No joke.
Hmm.
All right. Let's see.
7 in the Blues, 5 in the Cardinals, 2 in interest level for NBA basketball, and Peronis, says the Sausage Wheelie.
Oh, yes. Peronis. Boy, we did some shows out there. Were you with us when we used to do those?
I don't think I ever did go out there. I used to stay in studio for those.
We had Doug Armstrong driving all the way out there, way out in St. Charles. He came, and Lou Brock came once. It's amazing. Peronis got us some pretty good guests, actually.
I think because Peronis gave him a lot of free food on the way out.
Yes. Let's see what else.
Interest level in the NBA is at a 9. Try the garlic shrimp fried spinach pizza at Liliana's Italian Kitchen.
Really? Never even heard of it. So the big news in basketball today, by the way, is John Beilein is taking the Cavalier job.
Yeah, how about that?
And it's bizarre for a lot of reasons, because you don't think John Beilein, hip, getting along with the $20 million a year professional athlete. Of course, he won't have those in Cleveland. But I'll tell you what, the guy's a great basketball mind. He's a good guy. I think he's one of these college coaches that could make that transition, because he's not a nasty, mean, you know, coach every second of every game kind of guy.
But you would think that he would have done this. Maybe he didn't have the opportunity, but he'd been a good coach, really good coach for a long time. He would have done this in an earlier stage of his life. Maybe this is kind of a quasi bucket list item or something that, you know, unfinished business that he wants to do.
I think he's losing 3 players too. Let's just say tomorrow night, he gets the rights to Zion Williamson, too.
That's got to be the most intriguing part. You see the draft. It's deep with really young talent. So you know you're going to get one to build around.
I think I would have waited until the lottery came out.
I think I would have waited until a better job opened up. I think look at the Cavaliers under Dan Gilbert with LeBron and without LeBron. It is 2 totally different franchises. And I don't think there's any semblance of proper guidance within that front office and within the ownership to lead Cleveland to something without LeBron James.
And you bring up better jobs. I'm just trying to think in the last 5 years. Now, some of it's not reported, but how many jobs has John Beilein turned down? Maybe just in the college rank that are probably overall better than the Cavaliers job. Maybe not in terms of money.
Well, just think, though, what Cleveland's tried to do. They went after Tom Izzo really hard. Izzo turned it down.
You got to think he's never going to jump.
They went after John Calipari when LeBron was still there, and they offered him a $70 million deal to be president of basketball operations and coach, and he turned it down. So, I mean, I think it's a nice move by Cleveland. I don't know if it's a great move for Beilein. But, boy, if you got Zion and you got Connor Sexton and you're, you know, changing the whole culture and building from scratch.
Yeah, but the key is to get free agents there. It's hard to sell with Dan Gilbert.
Yep. All right, let's switch topics and welcome to the program the voice of the St. Louis Blues, Chris Kerber. Chris, great to be with you. How are you, sir?
Frank, I'm doing good today. How are you?
Very good. Well, in every article in St. Louis, on every talk show in St. Louis, the first name out of everybody's mouth as we go to game two is Vladimir Tarasenko, who I think only had one shot in game one, late in the third period. It's not like any blame should go on one guy. But I guess, Chris, if you're going to beat a really skilled team, your best player is going to have to be really good.
Yeah, I mean, and I know that's cliche as it gets, but, you know, the reality of it is, you know, the way the reporters were asking questions yesterday, you know, it seemed to focus around 91. And you look at the score sheet and you see all of the top players for the San Jose Sharks in some way, shape, or form contributed offensively in game number one. And, you know, Vladimir, you know, wasn't all that good in game number one, but neither was just about every one of those Blues players. So it was a bad all-around game, I think, you know, in terms of, you know, a collective game in game number one. So, no, I wouldn't put it all on Vladimir Tarasenko. But, you know, to that end, you know, at some point they need him to be more impactful on a regular basis. And as Craig Berube touched on, he said it's going to have to be the play without the puck. You know, he's going to have to, you know, help out in some other ways. He's going to have to be, you know, a little more compete to get open. The power play is where these guys could make some hay, and the power play was just listless and just bad in game one on the one chance that they had. And you can't keep going through the postseason and have your power play getting no shots on goal from that top power play unit that's logging a minute and a half of power play time. So he's part of it, but I think collectively the entire team's going to have to be better.
So what would you do with the power play? Would you make an adjustment with that first power play unit, and what would it be?
You know what? The only thing that it seems to have done, and I can only go on what we've seen, and that is, you know, maybe you switch, you know, Pietrangelo and Dunn again. However, you know, when that happened in that last series, Vince Dunn had the yips pretty good, and, you know, Dallas seemed to have more chances on the Blues power play than the Blues did. What they're really missing, Frank, and I think this might be more of an off-season thing, so it's how do you survive on the power play is the question right now. In the power, you know, in the second half of the season, the power play did do pretty well, clipping at about 22-23%. But, you know, the reality of it is they don't have a shooter. I mean, they don't have somebody willing to shoot. You got a right-handed shot in David Perron that plays on the right side, a left-handed shot in Vladimir Tarasenko that plays on the left side. They're trying a seam pass all the way through with a right-handed passer sending it to the left-handed guy. You know, and they got one through in the last game, but when Vladimir Tarasenko for him to collect the puck and then go to shoot it, that gave Justin Braun a chance to get in the shooting lane, and it was a little way too easy. So without a shot threat when they one-time it up to the blue line, it becomes kind of a one-dimensional power play. So somewhere along the line, they're going to have somebody that has that ability to shoot the puck, or at least that shooting mentality, and then that just hasn't seemed to have been there.
Would you anticipate any line changes in this game, too?
I do, Frank, but I don't know what it is yet. We won't go to the rink here for another team will hit the ice in about 2 hours. Here in the Western time zone, being 2 hours behind you guys. I do anticipate an adjustment. Craig Berube's made one just about after every loss. Just don't know what it would be yet. I know he likes the physicality and the speed of Sammy Blais. You know, my challenge on that one is, you know, Sammy is not an overly offensive guy yet in the National Hockey League, and we're going to need some skill on those top lines. Look, the top two lines for the St. Louis Blues have got to get more productive in this series. And to do that, they're going to have to create some chances. And I think they will, you know, to be honest with you. I just, there was too much separation, you know, too many times that the Blues are trying those long zone and a half passes rather than the 10-foot, 15-foot, you know, higher percentage passes. And you know, whether Craig makes one or two line changes or one roster move or not, that has to change before the personnel will even make a difference.
I can't remember a game, and certainly I want to say this, the defense of the Blues, the defensemen, have been a strength for them all season long, particularly in the postseason. But, boy, just those egregious errors that were costly from Dunn to Petro to Parayko, even Edmondson, just a tough night at the office in isolated moments.
Yeah, it was. And you go back to that Dallas series, Jay Bouwmeester had one of those games where three of his turnovers, well, it was two of them in the one game, went directly to goals in a Blues loss. So it's interesting where, you know, the offense for the St. Louis Blues really does start from the solid play from the defense. And what you really have to hope, and this is what I do hope, is that, you know, that gaff by, you know, and Logan Couture poking the puck off of Colton Parayko's stick doesn't slow his confidence down, because he's going to have to skate with the puck. He's got to be able to move with the puck. I thought Jay Bouwmeester played a really solid game in game number one. There were just too many other gaps, you know, made by the other guys. But really, I mean, and when we talk about cleaning up the game, when the team met with the media yesterday and Craig Berube talked as well, they all talked about cleaning up their part of the game. Now, look, you got to give some credit to the San Jose Sharks on that. But the puck eats up Alex Pietrangelo that led to one goal. Timo Meier gets the puck back and makes a terrific and really a world-class play to get around Tate Bouwmeester and then beat Jordan Binnington. But that's on the poke by Logan Couture on Colton Parayko. You know, and that's the second goal. Your third goal, a 5-on-3 goal given up. You know, so you can really find very specific things that led to goals all in all, that if you clean them up, you're going to cut down on the Sharks' chances.
And not to say the Blues don't have a chance, because they could come out and play a great game tonight, but boy, when you're watching that Sharks team, and you've been watching them for years, and you see 4 30-goal scorers, 2 Norris Trophy-winning defensemen, a Hall of Fame player in the swan song season, man, they're really good.
Well, they are. They are really good. But it's the players like a Timo Meier, you know, that it's the depth. The San Jose Sharks, Frank, a few years ago when they missed the playoffs, and look, they've made the playoffs, I think, 15 of the last 16 years, but they missed the playoffs. They found a way to transition their team from somewhat of an older squad to bringing in some of the younger talent, getting guys like Timo Meier and Tomas Hertl going, and transition while they're still competitive. Something that the Blues have managed to do and are still doing, kind of transitioning with the growth of Robert Thomas. And maybe next year Jordan Kyrou is able to take a step. We'll have to wait and see. Vince Dunn, what he's done defensively, those kind of things. The Sharks are just a little bit ahead of the Blues in that process from when they started it to when the St. Louis Blues started it. Having said that, look, I think Brent Burns and Erik Karlsson can both be very suspect at times defensively. I think the Blues went out to absolutely drill Erik Karlsson. You can tell by his comments after the game, he didn't like it. You know, this is a team that can be beat. This is a team that if the Blues play their game, it's going to be a heck of a series. They're just going to have to come out and play. They were a little too discombobulated in game number one. So I'm not all that concerned about it until we see what happens in game two.
Chris Kerber joins us, Hollywood Casino Press Box, on the all-new 590 The Fan. Your impressions of Jordan Binnington's game one?
He was fine. Jordan Binnington was fine. I mean, he made a heck of a play on Pavelski, and then there was the rebound that Pavelski batted out of the air. I have zero worries about Jordan Binnington. You know, it was his first time ever playing in this building. He seems to be able to adjust really well. And you know, but look, the goaltender is going to be the byproduct of the work in front of him as well. And Jordan will probably tell you there's a couple he'd like to have back. I think goalies like him would say he'd like to have them all back. You know, because I'll look at that goal by Timo Meier, for example, and go, man, what a world-class goal. And the goaltender's going to look at it and go, yeah, I should have done this and I should have had it. But goals are going to go in, and goal scorers are going to score goals. And in the case, you know, don't forget, the Blues did score 3 goals in that game. They just gave up too many. So offensively, the Blues were able to get to that magical number 3. They just have to find a way to lock things down and take some of the chances away from the Sharks.
Well, it's nice to see Ryan O'Reilly have a big moment. That was one spectacular goal.
Yeah, it was a really good goal. Now, the one thing, though, that jumps off the page for him is the faceoffs just have not been there now from the Dallas series into this one. So that's an aspect of the game we got to keep an eye on tonight. And one of the – it'll be an interesting adjustment, Frank, if it's needed. If he keeps ending up on the losing side of faceoffs, which is really, I mean, just anti from what we've seen from Ryan O'Reilly all this season, does Tyler Bozak or somebody else get a chance to move in there? But keep this in mind. Tyler Bozak was doing really well on the faceoffs in the first period, like 67%. And then the Sharks made an adjustment, put Tomas Hertl head-to-head, and then Tomas Hertl went nuts on the faceoff dot. So faceoff competition will be a real interesting one to watch here in game two.
Not to oversimplify it, but if they put Colton Parayko in that shooter spot and just say every time you get it, unload – would that not be a bad idea, especially on the power play?
Man, that depends on who you talk to. It's a question that's been asked for 4 years. Ken Hitchcock didn't put him there. Mike Yeo didn't put him there. Craig Berube hasn't put him there. Now, there's two things on this when we've talked to Craig Berube on this. One is this. Yeah, you would think with that shot of his, it would make a whole heck of a lot of sense. I don't know if they think he moves the puck quickly enough just yet. And then, you know, keep in mind, we're only talking about a guy in his fourth year in the league. So I'm okay with the patient side of this. However, I do think for that to work, Frank, the team has to change its philosophy completely on the power play. They have to go in and say, the power play is going to go through this guy. And I'm going to pull up Al MacInnis as an example here. When he was a rookie and most of his time was on the power play, and it's Al that tells the story. They went into the power play meeting, and the coach said, the puck goes to him. He shoots it. If you want a power play goal, you get to the front of the net and you look for a rebound or you look for a deflection. If you don't want to get the puck to him to shoot it, then you won't be on the power play. That's the kind of change I think needs to happen on the power play if you're going to get Colton Parayko out there. Now, that's a philosophical change. On the other side, the one thing, though, that we have seen is sometimes with Colton Parayko, and it is a skill you got to learn, and he still needs to work on this, he doesn't have himself in a shooting position enough and where the footwork and the timing isn't there yet, and that's one of the snags. So putting him up there on the power play is one thing, thinking he can shoot it. But him having himself ready to shoot it, and then the pass has to be there to one time, it is a different story. So me personally, I'd love to see him out there on that thing bombing the puck. It's just for some different reason, the span of now three different coaches, it's just something that hasn't been done on a regular basis. So I figure they got to know something more than me, right?
I doubt it. Pick to click.
Boy, I thought we should have retired, Frank.
Yeah, when you were like 3 for 3.
Yeah. Oh, I think we went 5 for 5.
Five for five.
That's when we did. We definitely should have quit. You know what? I'm gonna let's see. Well, you know what? For me in this one, I'm gonna go to the. I'm gonna look to Braden Schenn. He had a point taken away from him in the last game. I really like the play that he's been bringing to the table. Yeah, he's going to need some help from his linemate, Vladimir Tarasenko, but that's now 9 games officially without a point, I think it is, for Braden Schenn. And you know, when we talk as much about Vladimir Tarasenko or Ryan O'Reilly or Jaden Schwartz, Braden Schenn's logging a lot of time at center. So my pick to clip tonight will be number 10.
All right. Good stuff, sir. We'll be listening tonight, and we'll talk before game 3. Thank you so much.
All right. Have a great day. We'll see you guys tonight.
All right. Chris Kerber joining us, voice of the Blues. Brought to you by Petromart. Petromart is a locally owned and operated family business that's been serving the St. Louis area for over 30 years. Each location is just as clean, fast, and friendly as the next, with 50 locations to serve you. In a hurry, Petromart offers a wide selection of grab-and-go food items like hot and ready pizza or fresh fruit and salads. Petromart has something for everybody, and it's always prepared fresh and available around the clock. Petromart, a proud sponsor of Phillips 66 Gasoline, and a proud sponsor of the St. Louis Blues. We'll take a break. We'll be right back after this.